Jonah chapter 1, I'm reading from the English Standard Version, verses 1 through 3. Hear the word of the Lord. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish away from the presence of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we ask this morning that you would guide us by your word, by your Holy Spirit, and that in your light we may see light, in your truth we may find freedom, and in your will discover peace. We pray these things through Christ our Lord. Amen. We saw last week that Jonah the prophet was active during the reign of Jeroboam II, that evil king of the northern kingdom of Israel. There's a little map in your insert that might be helpful if you want to take a glance. Jeroboam II was the king about 150 years after the death of Solomon. He was a wicked king even before his reign in Israel. Israel had already entered into full-blown idolatry and worship of the Canaanite god Baal. These were dark, dark days in the history of Israel, very difficult days. But we saw in 2 Kings chapter 14 last week that Jonah was called by God to go to Israel and to prophesy. And the Lord blessed that. Specifically, Jonah had a ministry of prophesying what the Lord was going to do in terms of the country's economy and the expansion of their borders. And everything that he prophesied came to pass. So he was a genuine prophet of the Lord. That's one of the telltale signs of a genuine prophet in the Old Testament, is what they prophesy comes to pass. And it did. So by the time we get to Jonah this morning in chapter 1, we have a seasoned, experienced prophet. That's key to hang on to that. This is no novice. Jonah is not green behind the ear. He has had a long, fruitful ministry. And in fact, we read in 2 Kings that he was known throughout the kingdom. He's not only a seasoned, fruitful prophet, but he's well known. He has had a very fruitful ministry to date. So God comes to this seasoned prophet and he tells him to arise. Look at verse 2 of chapter 1. "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come before me." The command is to arise. And Jonah arose. But when he arose, he did not go to Nineveh. Look at verse 3. "But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish." He went exactly in the opposite direction to Tarshish. That's on the western coast in modern-day Spain. So God tells to Jonah, go right. And Jonah turns and he goes left. God tells Jonah, go east. And Jonah turns and he goes west. God tells Jonah, I want you to go that way. And he turns and he goes west. This way. That's a key distinction here, this idea of east and west. The east-west distinction is key because it highlights the radical difference between God's way and man's way. There is a way that is right, and then there is man's way. And Jonah is illustrating that. And his purpose, look at the end of verse 3. Is to flee away from the presence of the Lord. Flee away from the presence of the Lord. And Tarshish seemed perfect for that. It was one of those far off places where the name of the Lord is not proclaimed, the word of the Lord is not preached, the prayers of the Lord are not heard, the people of the Lord are not found, no fellow believers there. If he stayed in Israel, think about this. If he stayed in Israel, he's going to continue to hear the word of the Lord. He's going to continue to be exposed to the ministry of the sacraments. He's going to continue to be exposed to the prayers of God's people. He's going to continue to be exposed to people who talk about the things of God and what pleases God and the Word of God. So this may seem a little irrational at first, this idea that you can escape from God, because we know ultimately you can't. Psalm 139, you can't escape from God in the depths of Sheol. But I do think there's something to this idea of knowing that Jonah was in the wrong. And just like Adam and Eve, in fact, the language is very similar here to Genesis chapter 3, he wants to go hide in the trees to get away from the presence of the Lord. He doesn't want the things of the Lord ringing in his ears right now because he's in sin. And if he goes somewhere else, if he goes away from the Lord's land, away from the Lord's people, maybe he can escape this commission. That's what the bottom line is here. Jonah wants to escape the commission. Or we might say today, Jonah wants to quit the ministry. He's burnt out, fed up, he's had enough. He doesn't want to do this. He doesn't. His heart is not in the mission. His heart is not in the commission. His spirit's not there. He's burned out and he wants to quit. And he hopes if he goes to Spain, it will be impossible to be God's prophet in the Far East if he's over here in the Far West. And he won't have to hear about these things anymore. So I look at this and I think, well, in this respect, he's just like Christians today who begin to entertain some sin. They don't want to give it up, and they begin to avoid other Christians by not coming to church. They justify it. If you ask them about it, they'll make excuses. Oh, I've been busy. Things come up. Brush it off, no big deal. But oftentimes, like Jonah, they are seeking to avoid godly company because of the true condition of their heart. I can't tell you how many times. I really could not tell you the number. I thought about this a good bit this week. Kind of an inventory of people over the years. I can't tell you the number of people over the years that I have inquired about who have stopped coming to church only to find out there's something else going on deeper, some sin, and they have removed themselves from Christian fellowship. They have removed themselves from the church. They have stopped attending. They've removed themselves from the means of grace. That's the nature of human beings. It's something. This is a warning. This is not a tale to condemn Jonah so much as it is to encourage us. If this can happen to Jonah, we need to be on the lookout. We need Christian fellowship. We need the body. We need worship. We need the sacraments. We need prayer. It helps to keep us in line. This was a man, now getting back to his credentials, keep in mind, this was a man who had received and benefited from all the benefits of God. He grew up under the Word of God. He had a personal revelation from God. He had the knowledge of God. I think a parallel would be children in our church, or any church, that, where they're raised under Christian teaching, where they're raised in Christian homes, where they're raised with catechisms, where they're raised with all the benefits of God's blessings and His Word and His people and His prayers. The Word is what brings God's presence to us. And through the privilege of prayer, we have access to the throne of grace. And even through all of those blessings, that doesn't guarantee that we won't at some point drift away from that. Drift to the West. But you know what one of the encouraging lessons of the book of Jonah is? One of the major lessons of the story of Jonah, and we'll see this as it unfolds, Lord willing, is that you can flee from your home, you can flee from your church, you can flee from your Christian heritage, but you can never flee from God. You can try. You can go that route, you can go left, you can go west, you can go this way. But if the Word is in you, and God has purposed for you your salvation, He will pursue you to the nth degree to bring you back. And that's going to be a major lesson in Jonah. I hope that's an encouragement to you. It is to me. Why did he try to escape the commission? Why is he burnout? Why go west when God says go east? There's been a good bit of speculation on that. One reason that has been offered is that maybe Jonah was afraid. Now, Nineveh was not only a great city, as God calls it here in verse 2, but it was also a notoriously evil city. It was a notoriously wicked city. Nineveh, in particular, was known throughout the world for their brutality and their cruelty. The Assyrians were notoriously wicked and violent. Most powerful empire in the world at this point. Notoriously wicked and violent. And Assyria was also the greatest threat to Israel's independence. One commentator put it this way. Think of this. He said, the Assyrians were the Nazi stormtroopers of the ancient world. They were the pitiless, power-crazed foe. They showed no quarter in battle, uprooting entire peoples in their fury for contest, for conquest. For Jonah, Nineveh then was no ordinary city. It carried doom-laden, tragic memories. It stood as a symbol of evil incarnate. That's terrifying. In fact, another commentator put it this way, to go to Nineveh means for Jonah to go to hell. Can you imagine receiving that kind of a call? I can appreciate that temptation. I don't know how I would react, honestly. Especially when I hear stories like John Grotenhaus tell of Al-Shabaab in Sudan, and they will kill a person on the spot if they even suspect they're a Christian. Or stories in Eritrea of people just disappearing under the cover of darkness at night and being locked into shipping containers in the scorching conditions of the sun for weeks at a time, just for naming the name of Christ. That's the type of environment we're talking about in Assyria and Nineveh. And God's telling Jonah, go to the heart of that. I can sympathize with fear. Many of us are afraid to stand up for Christ in this world for much milder reasons than that, much milder costs than that. Have you ever neglected to name the name of Christ just because you were afraid you would be ostracized to some degree? Have you ever neglected to name the name of Christ because you were afraid you would be ridiculed? I have. I can sympathize if the reason is fear, but the book of Jonah doesn't mention fear as a reason that Jonah did not go west, east. May have been a factor, doesn't say. Another reason that has been speculated about why Jonah may have decided to go west instead of east is maybe he just wasn't up for the difficulty of the call. This is a difficult assignment. The idea of going into the heart of the most evil city of the world and proclaiming a message of condemnation, but what kind of response is that going to get, humanly speaking, would you think? That sounds like a classic fool's errand to me. They're going to laugh at you. They're going to ridicule you. They're not going to listen to you. If they don't kill you, they're at a minimum going to write you off as a fanatic and as a fool. Look at you like one of the crazy guys on the street corner in the big cities yelling repent at everybody as they pass by and ignore him. That's a fool's errand. Who wants to do that? I think we often sin for the same reason. How often do we refuse God's commands just because we don't like them, or we don't think they'll work out the way we think they should, or we just think it's too hard, not productive, not enough fruit, too difficult? Well, maybe. Could be a mix of these things. Maybe he was afraid and he didn't like the difficulty of the call. But the book doesn't say anything about that either. It doesn't give that as a reason. And I can imagine going west and going down to Joppa and securing a ship and sailing all the way to Tarshish, that's not easy either. I think the clearest explanation of why it is that Jonah goes left instead of right, west instead of east, this way instead of that way, is found in his own words. Look at chapter 4 of Jonah. Jonah's a changed man by the end of the book. And he says in verse 2, he prayed to the Lord and said to the Lord, "O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish. Why? For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster." In other words, Jonah's saying, I have developed such a deep and profound hatred for the Ninevites that I wasn't willing to go preach to them because I knew what the result would be. I knew that you would use my ministry to convert them and to bring them into the saving knowledge of the Lord. He believed in the power of the Lord. He knew about God's grace for sinners. And he says, this is precisely why I refused to bring the word to them. I could not bear the idea of those dirty, ugly Ninevites repenting and coming to know you in a covenant way for all of eternity. I just couldn't bear it. My heart couldn't bear it. My mind couldn't wrap around that. And to get a sense of the situation, James Boyce writes in his commentary, imagine this. Imagine the word of the Lord coming to a Jew who lived in New York during World War II. Think about that. Imagine the word of the Lord coming to a Jew who lived in New York during World War II, telling him, go east to Berlin and preach to Nazi Germany. It should not surprise us at all. In that situation, giving that kind of context, giving all those kinds of parameters, that instead of going east, he goes west to San Francisco, gets on a boat for Hong Kong. That's where Jonah's mind was. That's where his heart was. That's where his spirit was. Jonah was a man, there's no doubt. 2 Kings, and we pick up on this in the book of Jonah, he was a man of outstanding character. He was a man of fruitful ministry. He was a man who was a renowned prophet. Wonderful pastor, preacher, prophet, teacher. There's no disputing that. No doubt about that. But here's where the lesson is. Jonah failed to tend to the affairs of his heart. The writer of Proverbs says, keep your heart with diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. And he wasn't keeping his heart with vigilance. There was a bitterness in his heart. There was an anger in his heart. There was a resentment in his heart. There was a hatred in his heart. And it became this little pet sin. And he nurtured it, he fed it, and he gardened it, and he tended to it. He was a good husband to it. And it grew, and it grew. He just couldn't face the possibility that God would be gracious to these people that he so desperately hated. He was angry that God's purpose was to love them. He was angry that God's purpose was to show grace to them. And for good reason. For good reason. But in the end, he could not bear the notion that God's purpose was a purpose of love and salvation, and that if Jonah went east, it would be successful. Couldn't bear it. His heart couldn't bear it. But you know who the only person was that hatred in his heart harmed? Do you know who the only person was that bitterness in his heart harmed? It wasn't the Ninevites. They don't even know who this guy is. The only person that hatred and that bitterness and that anger harmed was Jonah himself. Jonah the man. And friends, it's the same today as it was 3,000 years ago. If you refuse to forgive iniquities, if you hang on to bitterness and hatred and anger in your heart, if you hang on to resentment, the only person you're harming is yourself. Jonah's going to learn that lesson. But as often is the case in life, he's going to learn it the hard way. It's going to be a hard road to get from chapter 1 Jonah to get to chapter 4 Jonah. And friends, a question that this presses on every one of us today is, where do we stand with God? You know, God comes to Jonah and he says, my plan, Jonah, is to use you as a blessing to Israel, is to use you as a blessing to the Gentiles, is to use you ultimately to begin to show the light of the incarnate word Jesus Christ to the nations. And Jonah says, out of the bitterness of my heart, I don't want anything to do with that. I'm going this way. And the flight of Jonah west is a calling to all of us to examine, are we following the Lord? Are we following after his ways? We're not to put ourselves outside of his will. We're not to put ourselves outside of his presence, his people, his sacraments, his prayer. We're to bathe in those things and ensure that we are following after him, and especially as we come into the New Testament and this is all fleshed out and we find that we're called to follow Jesus Christ, we are to run to him, not from him. Flee to him, not flee from him. Follow our Savior to the east, not run from our Savior to the west, but obey him and embrace him and trust him and follow after him. Where are you with the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the honesty and transparency of your prophet, a man of God with deep faults. And what an encouragement it is to us, Lord, to know that faults and all, you work through us. And there truly is no place that we can go to escape your presence. Father, I pray that we would be sober about this reflection, sober about the question of where we stand before you. And Lord, we honestly ask that you would do anything and everything and whatever it takes to hold us, to keep us, to bring us back when we go astray, and to grow us in the likeness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Help us to flee to him. In his name we pray. Amen.